You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Do the show, bitch.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got it.
Hour number three of Ben and Woods. It is a Wednesday morning, and we are getting you ready for Padres playoff baseball this afternoon here on 97.3 The Fan. Not only that, but Woods and I are back in studio for the first time in 6 months here on our sixth floor suite at the Intercom Empire. And it does feel good to be back. A little longer drive, but feels good to be here, Woods, and see Paulie in person and enjoy the atmosphere of being a show together again.
They told me
Woodsy's
the mic
microphone, though, has never worked this morning. Every time they come in, and we think it's fixed,
the light's on,
and then it's not working. No, I hear you. I don't hear you at all. So you're going to have to go back again to the other microphone, slide back on over, and we can try it again later. Be nice to have a smooth show on our return, but that was probably
a little too much to ask for, Ben,
on this morning. So Woods, Padres at 2 o'clock, and yesterday we learned that Chris Paddock is going to be the opening day starter for Mike Schilt, of all people. But we don't know who's going to start games 2 or 3.
No,
for the Padres in this series, Jay Stengler said that's going to be a decision that's going to wait. In fact, they have not even decided who is on the final 28-man roster for the wild card round. They don't have to set that until 10 o'clock, and they want to make sure they see how Denelson Lamet and Mike Clevinger feel when they get up. There's no reason to include either of them on a 28-man roster if they're not going to start.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just a wasted roster spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's two other arms you could have. It's two other bench players you could have. How about the weird rumor yesterday that was floating around? And you were there. Did you see Mackenzie Gore?
Yeah, he was there on the field. He's on the roster. I mean, he's on the 40-man pool that they can choose from.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they're going to put him on the 28-man roster, but they can. They could choose to add Mackenzie Gore, and he could make his major league debut in a playoff game in the next couple of days. I still find that to be highly unlikely.
Am I in the minority by saying that that's not something I want to see?
No,
I don't want to see
that. I think
that.
You're in the majority in saying that.
Are you sure? Because I've seen a lot of people that I respect talking about how they think that this could possibly be a good idea. Now, listen, if it works, it's a great idea. If it doesn't work, it's potentially fairly detrimental.
What's the scenario in your mind that gets Mackenzie Gore on the field? Because I only see one, and it's not a good one, which is why I don't want to see it.
Up or down 9. And Lamet hurt.
Yeah, well, Lamet and Clevinger, they decide both of them are off the playoff roster for this round because neither of them are healthy enough. You got Paddock in game one. And for some reason, you know, it's, he doesn't go very long. You have to go to your bullpen for many, many innings.
Yep.
And then in game two tomorrow with Zach Davies, you've got another, it's a 14-inning game or something. You've gone to your bullpen again, deep into the well, and you need someone to start in game three. And you put Mackenzie Gore out there on the roster. You got one starter. Garrett Richards has already been used for several innings out of the bullpen. Then you have no choice but to turn to Mackenzie Gore in a game three to make his major league debut. I don't really want to see that. I mean, yes, the possibilities for legendary status by making your debut and absolutely shoving and winning a decisive game three, and who knows, maybe pitching the first no-hitter in Padres history. Yeah, it would be legendary. More than likely, it would overwhelm anyone be put in that situation.
You're over here talking about no-hitters. I'm like, give me three scoreless. Yeah, give me three scoreless is pretty much all.
I just don't see a good situation for the Padres that results in Mackenzie Gore being on the mound. So, yeah, I don't really want to see it, but it is a possibility that they talked about. Now, Mike Clevinger, he's kind of the – I don't think Denelson Lamet is going to be on the roster for these next couple of games. Unless he gets up this morning and goes – I feel great, you know, and throws like an early bullpen and says, hey, I think I could go in game three. I feel fantastic. There doesn't seem to be a lot of hope for me that Denelson Lamet is going to pitch in this series. So he wouldn't be on the roster. Clevinger, on the other hand, you know, Jace Tingler said looked good in his bullpen yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you, if Chris Paddock goes out and does what he is capable of doing tonight, the bullpen comes in and holds the lead, and our offense does what they've done all season long, great, there's a dub. Zach Davies goes out tomorrow and does exactly what he's done all season. You know, two runs, whatever, five, six innings. Bullpen comes in, does their job. Offense does theirs. Great. Then Clevinger doesn't even have to take the field until the Dodgers series. And I'm assuming it's the Dodgers, could be the Brewers. But that's the best case scenario. That's an absolute best case scenario. And it's totally, guys, by the way, it's totally a plausible and believable thing. This, I'm not asking for too much here. I'm asking guys to do what they are capable of doing and what they have done, in Chris Paddock's case, a few times this year, a few times it hasn't gone his way. But Davies has been as solid as anybody. So I would love to win these first two, not have to use Clev, and then maybe Lamet is healthy and Clevinger's healthy for a seven-game series, which would be perfect.
Yeah, that would be the ideal circumstance. You get through two games, two wins, allow your two top starters more rest to get healthy, and then
it'd be amazing.
You got them for the top of the rotation in the division series against either the Dodgers or the Brewers. As a Padre fan, does that seem way too optimistic and hopeful?
No, I mean, it's plausible. It's Ben, you're not asking somebody that hasn't done it before to go out and do something they've never done. That's the best part about this Padre team. There's a really nice little track record that has been established by this offense, by Zach Davies, and, you know, kind of by Chris Paddock. I mean, we're not asking anybody to do anything supernatural. We're not asking Mackenzie Gore to come in and do something he's never done before. All these guys have done this.
I think the biggest thing is you're not necessarily asking them to win you a 2-1 game either.
Right.
In other playoff years and other playoff teams, you don't expect the Padres, no matter who you're going up against, their number one starter. Yeah, you know, if we can push across two runs, maybe three, and get a great start from our guy, win 3-1, 3-2, that's a typical playoff game one. I don't necessarily see it going that way in this series. The Padres' offense is really, really good. The Cardinals' starters are certainly not bad, but they don't put the fear of God into you. The Padres could score a bunch of runs. I mean, we saw the Yankees score 12 yesterday, so it's certainly possible. All right, let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline right now. He's just calling in. See him, and I appreciate him giving us a little bit of time. Kylie McDaniel from ESPN, one of their MLB insiders, with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Kylie, good to have you on the program. Good morning to you.
Yep, thanks for having me. Just driving into the ballpark today.
Well, your name kind of popped up on our radar because I was looking at all the 30 ESPN Insider MLB playoff predictions, and you were the only one out of the 30 to pick the Padres to win the World Series. So let me first ask you, do you still feel that way based on the fact that Mike Clevinger and Denelson Lamet seem tenuous at best for an appearance, at least in this wild card round?
Well, if you told me they were tenuous at best for the whole playoffs, that was sort of something I was assuming that they would be available at some point in the next, you know, week or two. I think they're still, even with this rotation, with Paddock and Davies and question mark for game three, I still think they're like a pretty heavy favorite. Like, I know Fangraphs has some odds for who will win the series, and I think it's still like 65-67% for the Padres with the current pitching staff. So I still feel fine about them getting through. I'm more worried about Clevinger and Lamet, but it sounds like, I mean,
if you've got better information, let me know. It sounds like they'll be in play for later rounds if everything goes as scheduled, because it sounds like it was, I was told, cautiously optimistic they'd be able to pitch in this round as of like a day or two ago. So it sounds like they're on the verge. So as long as they're there for round two, when I guess the Dodgers would be the matchup, I'm gonna stand pat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're hearing as well. Yet you're concerned when we hear cautiously optimistic, then now it looks like they might not be going in this series. At the same time, maybe they just need a few more days, and by the time a division series starts, what would be next Monday, you could have those guys as your 1-2, and even if it is the Dodgers, you don't hate the Padres' chances in a series like that. That being said, I mean, the Dodgers still have to be the odds-on favorite in the National League.
Yeah, my pick was, I wouldn't say contrarian, but I had them as pretty close. If Clevinger and Lamet are healthy for, you know, the later rounds, I have them almost a coin flip, and I think the Dodgers have a bit of an edge in terms of a slightly better regular season, but then once you factor in all the trade deadline additions for the Padres, they're also better than their regular season numbers. And there's also sort of more depth they can afford. If Buehler gets hurt, they have enough depth that they, you know, still have playoff caliber starters there. But also, the best team generally doesn't win the World Series and oftentimes will lose in the first or second round. Obviously, we've seen that with the Dodgers multiple times. And so I was throwing in a bit of a, you know, it's close to a coin flip if, you know, A, B, and C lines up, and it looks like it will. Who is the young, enthusiastic, has some narrative, tends to, you know, be overplaying their peripheral stats, like seems to be ready for the moment. And it's sort of like, okay, there has to be a little bit of magical nonsense thrown into these projections, because that's what happens in real life. And I think the Padres are a little closer to the Dodgers just on paper than people think. And I think they've got some of the narrative stuff on their side as well.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. We're talking to Kylie McDaniel here on Ben and Woods this morning, is what is it about this Padre team? Who is it? All of that kind of coming together when you looked at it. And listen, I did the same thing when I made some early picks as well. I thought, you know, hey, the White Sox are great. Everyone's picking the A's. I'm taking the White Sox. So far, so good in that pick. But when you look at this Padres team, Kylie, what jumps out at you as a team that could go out and win the whole thing?
Well, I think they have, in a way, taken the personality of GM AJ Preller, where you have sort of a brash exuberance and aggression and like sort of confidence and belief in themselves. And you see somebody like Fernando Tatis Jr., I think, really sets the tone. And I think there are some, you know, there's the Eric Hosmer, there's, you know, Machado, there's some, you know, veterans that sort of mellow that out at times. And obviously, I think we've seen Tatis maybe go over the top with the, you know, antics at times, but I think it's like clearly a net positive. And I think that sort of sets the tone for the team that, you know, oftentimes there is one guy that can sort of set the mood. And I think he does that. And they've got, you know, a locker room full of young, exciting guys who I think kind of feed off that energy.
Kylie, I'm curious about your thoughts on AJ Preller, because you co-wrote a book called Value, The Battle for Baseball's Soul and How Teams Will Find the Next Superstar. And it is about that balance between scouting and analytics. And AJ Preller, I think maybe more than any other GM in baseball, is the guy who kind of walks that line, because he's very much a scout at heart, yet he's also part of this new breed that does rely a lot on analytics as well. And he's maybe done the crossover better than anyone else, but I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, yeah, the interesting thing about him is he was seen as one of the guys that was closest to the all-scouting kind of throw-out analytics group as recently as a couple years ago. And that's from outside perceptions. I'm not saying that's actually real, but that's what everybody kind of thought. And I think what he was doing was saying a lot of these other teams, the vast majority of them, are leaning so hard into the analytics that they're so homogenous in the way that they value players that I have an advantage that in that I'll have different opinions than them because I lean on scouting. I'm going to lean into that as hard as I can because that's my advantage. I think that was kind of where it was coming from. And then people in the industry, including myself, thought, well, he's really good at picking prospects, developing them, accumulating talent. But when it comes to, like, putting together a championship team and, like, adding the right reliever, like, you really need analytics for that because there's so many numbers at the big league level that eyeballs become much less useful than they would be, especially across, like, you know, team building as opposed to, like, advanced scouting for this one at bat, where eyeballs may be useful more so than stats. And the things that he has done in terms of, like, trading for non-sort of consensus, non-pedigreed guys like Austin Nola, and, you know, trading for Tommy Pham. Like, these are not the moves that the A.J. Preller of old would have made. He is evolving and adjusting. And I actually was talking to a GM a week ago, and I wrote an article about how in a unique spot on this graph that it created, where it's aggression and traditional versus progressive. And he said, oh, I voted for AJ for executive of the year because you look at all the moves he's made, like, it may not be sustainable, but, like, traded for Trent Grisham, got better. Hosmer, magically hitting again. Like, Myers, looked like a bad contract, now he's hitting again. And, you know, Tatis, like, just took off after, you know, some people thought it was a little bit lucky what happened in his rookie year in terms of outcomes. Like, everything has gone his way, and then he went and made all those trades. He sort of has had the Midas touch in the last 6 months or so. And again, I think that's part of this sort of narrative, is that he was seen as maybe a little over his head at this part of the rebuild. And now it seems like he just beat all the guys that were sort of ridiculing his approach.
Kylie, my producer Paul says that you're going to actually be part of the Reds Braves broadcast today with our friend Matty V and of course, A-Rod and Buster Olney. So, give me your thoughts just quickly on that matchup in terms of, obviously, Cincinnati was a team a lot of people talking about going into this playoffs, given their how their rotation could set up for a short series.
Oh, yeah. The notes that I'll be trying to get the attention of Buster and Baskers and A-Rod to mention, I think the most interesting parts of this game is that by Fangraph's offensive metric, which is all hitting and base running tied up into one number, the Braves have the best offense in baseball and have the two best offensive players in baseball in Freddie Freeman and Marcelo Ozuna, and have a bottom five rotation. So they're, you know, extremes in those two stances. And then also Trevor Bauer, Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo, by one measure, has the Reds as the best rotation in baseball. And Trevor Bauer, number one in baseball in spin rate, rise in his fastball, spin rate, and sink on his curveball. There's just like all kinds of best in baseball at this one thing that will be, I think, really big parts of today's game and tomorrow's game. And there's basically going to be strength against strength when the Reds are throwing to the Braves. And I think when you have that sort of collision, you like sort of know there's going to be an explosion, and you'll wait for the dust to settle and see who's still standing.
Well, Kylie, I know a very busy day for you. I appreciate you giving us a few minutes here in San Diego. And we hope you have the Midas touch when it comes to picking World Series winners.
Yes.
And I get to be right out of all 30 of those. And it's the Padres who have the big cake at the end, as they like to call it here. Kylie, thank you so much.
Yeah, I will say I texted a couple people in the Padres front office and said I picked them. Don't let me down. And they said, we'll try not to.
Good. Good. Kylie McDaniel, ESPN MLB insider on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Wouldn't it be something, Woods, if A.J. Preller, who sometimes seems like a pariah of GMs in baseball, wins executive of the year this year?
It'd be awesome, man. And I don't think there's anybody more deserving. I mean, obviously, do you think it hinges on kind of how the next week or so goes?
I don't know. Is that one of those regular season votes that's already in? I don't know how executive of the year works.
I mean, he gets it in my book. Look what he did.
I mean, the moves, the trade deadline moves, it almost, when you look at it, you say, give it to anyone else and
you feel a little bit gypped.
Yeah. I mean, the Marlins, what they've done is certainly impressive, given what they had to overcome and how much depth they had to have to, you know, make it through COVID.
Sure.
And make the playoffs unexpectedly. I guess that's kind of the competition there. But, yeah, why not? I mean, AJ certainly, I think, deserves it as much as anyone.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more.
This segment of Ben and Woods, sponsored by the Golf Mart. Don't Do This is coming up next. And you know what's coming on Don't Do This. Even if you didn't watch it last night,
you have to know.
You know what's coming on Don't Do This.
Yes.
It's Ben and Woods. Let's check traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.